Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, did you see this, Back to the Future fans? Those of you that are 1980s movie classic fans, or even those of you that like to think about and relive the good old days of the 1980s when President Ronald Reagan, the actor, as Doc would say in the Back to the Movie or Back to the Future movie. What, Ronald Reagan, the actor? Did you see that they are releasing, remaking, relaunching, or what have you, the DeLorean? Apparently, they have about 300 enough parts, spare parts from the original model that was used in the movie to make about 300 more of these DeLoreans. You know, I actually saw one driving down the street, excuse me here, near my, before we moved to our current home, there was one that used to drive around the streets, a DeLorean. Looked just like the car from the Back to the Future movies. And, you know, I found this interesting. I found this, who doesn't want, what kid that grew up in the 80s wouldn't like to have a DeLorean sitting in the garage to take out every now and again? I mean, I don't think it's the most practical car or what have you, but nonetheless, they're releasing this car again, and it got me to thinking, the things that are going on politically, I feel like we're going through Back to the Future movies. I feel like this episode with Donald Trump and his not participating in the debate, and the way that things begin to go with a little bit of time, people gradually begin to gravitate towards him, begin to see that maybe his position, at least as far as this debate is concerned, and look, I'm not saying he shouldn't come, but or shouldn't attend the debate, but Fox News is the one, I'm telling you, Fox News is the one that's going to have the black eye here. And I'm not saying that Trump is going to walk away unscathed. I'm not saying that it won't hurt him in Iowa. I don't know. But Fox News, you know, they want to challenge. They want to go after Trump for being childish and petulant. But if you read the press release, not the one, I think they've released a couple now, but the original one that prompted Trump, and I didn't have time to get into this yesterday because there's a lot to discuss about this issue in my estimation. But I told a friend on the phone yesterday that this very thing, Fox is going to have a black eye from this. Even those that aren't, I mean, they're going to upset the true Trump fan, no question. I'm not even talking about them. I'm just talking about when the dust settles here. And when you realize, you know, you may think that Trump, or I may think that Trump should still attend the debate, but then when you look at, forget about that for a moment, you look at what Fox has done, and you look at the original press release, the statement anyway, given by, reports say that it was written exclusively by Robert Ailes himself. I mean, it's ridiculous. Talking about the Ayatollahs and the Russians or Putin through back channels have, I don't know, some silly comment about that. And then it goes on to say, is Trump going to, well, here, let me just read this to you. This is from a statement. This was obtained by Mediaite. And this is what it reads in part. We learned from a secret back channel that the Ayatollah and Putin both intend to treat Donald Trump unfairly when they meet with him if he becomes president. A nefarious source tells us that Trump has his own secret plan to replace the cabinet with his Twitter followers to see if he should even go to those meetings. End quote. I mean, that's the statement from Fox, which I've read is being attributed to the exclusive product of Robert Ailes himself. Read an article on Breitbart this morning as well, talking about how this has backfired on Fox, and I think it has in a lot of ways. The article even suggested that some of the advertisers are trying to get some of their money back. I mean, whatever you think about this, you know, Trump's decision or some of the things that Trump does, history just really seems to repeat itself here. Once the dust settles, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, this is not an apology for Trump. I just happen to think if you want to go after Trump, take another route. This is, how many times does this have to happen before you realize this is not how you stop Donald Trump? This is not the formula whatsoever. And I'm not, look, I think in general, I think the way to do this to Trump is to attack his policies and positions. Question some of the things he's done in the past. Question his use of eminent domain. Question some of the things he said about abortion in the past. Question, you know, some of the things he's talked about single-payer health care in the past. Talk about these things. And in situations like this where he doesn't go to the debate, by all means, do not say the guy is weak. That is not what this is about. This is utter folly. Do not say he is scared of Megyn Kelly. This is absurd. You can say that he's unable to... Look, I'm not... I had to be careful here. I'm trying to be objective here in the sense of I'm not supporting or coming out against Donald Trump. I'm not going to be his cheerleader on here. That's not my intention at all. I'm sure some of you think that, but that's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to tell you what I see. And if the intent, which it should not be the intent, incidentally, of Fox News to try to stop Donald Trump. I mean, fair and balanced. And by the way, does that press release, do those words that are allegedly written by Robert Ailes sound like a fair and balanced news station to you? I mean, that's all conservatives have wanted for years. I mean, Fox started, what, in the mid-90s, maybe 96 or something? People have flocked to Fox News because, primarily, there's several reasons, I think, but the primary reason is because they are fair and balanced. We had been fed. For those of you that are younger, I don't think you can fully comprehend how one-sided the media was before the days of the internet and blogs and talk radio when it exploded. I mean, in the early 80s, or, you know, it was worse even before that, but as I was a kid in the early 80s, I mean, you had ABC, CBS, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post. I mean, these were the news outlets. And they were almost all members of the Democrat PR machine. And you talk about controlling the information. I mean, people act like Fox is the one that's controlling this information. Well, you know what? There are so many other news outlets that compete with Fox that talk about things that, fine, if you want to listen to those, if you want to get a liberal spin on the news. I don't think when you're watching the news on Fox, and I'm differentiating between the commentary, of course, when you turn on Sean Hannity, he's going to be conservatively biased. I think, you know, Bill O'Reilly, to a large extent, although he can be quite fair, is conservatively biased. But when you watch the news on there, when you watch Bret Baier, when you watch Catherine Herridge, I mean, Catherine Herridge is a fantastic reporter. There's another reporter on there I think is fantastic too. completely drawing a blank on her name, but there's others. This is news. This is how news should be reported. You report, we report, you decide. That's what Fox says. That is not at all what this press release sounds like. And so when people see that Donald Trump decided to back out of the debate after that press release, you can still say it's not a good decision, but now all of a sudden, why is Fox being the one that's the antagonizer? I mean, the article I read in Breitbart suggested that Fox was just trying to drum up support to grow the audience, which may very well be the case. Some others will say that Fox is out to destroy Trump. Regardless, it's a news organization. It's not the job of the news organization to promote or to try to take out any particular candidate. And based upon that press release, that's not very flattering for Fox News. And you're talking to one, or excuse me, you're listening to one who is overall quite happy with Fox News. They're not, incidentally, as conservative as they're portrayed. They happen to look conservative up against the ultra-leftists that are reporting news on other cable outlets, CNN, MSNBC, Al Jazeera, the 5,000 people that watch Al Jazeera, before they close, incidentally, sometime in April. But this is not how you take out Donald Trump. Do not play into his weaknesses, or excuse me, do not play into his strengths. Do not talk about him being weak. Do not talk about him being afraid. I mean, those are two things that almost any American is going to say, look, the guy's not afraid. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. Now, if you want to start talking about the content of what he says, some people are going to be gung-ho in favor of it. Others are going to say, he's crazy. He's over the top. He's extreme in some of his rhetoric. He's inconsistent in some of the things he says. So why not take that approach? You're not going to paint Donald Trump as this weakling who's afraid of Vladimir Putin or the Ayatollahs. And if you look at how his Twitter or his fans, his followers, his diehard supporters, some of the things that they're saying and doing on social media, these memes that I've seen, I mean, it talks about Trump being, you know, he's not going to back down. He's not going to be afraid. He's not going to shut up. This is how they see this. So tonight's the debate. I can't even keep track of how many times the Republicans have debated. They have put their candidates on full display for everyone to see for quite some time now, dating all the way back to when August, I guess it was, when Megyn Kelly, Bret Baier, and Chris Wallace hosted the first debate on Fox News, which incidentally, look, it's been painted that Megyn Kelly went after Donald Trump and asked him some questions, or at least that's what Trump says, and some people would agree with that, or even many people. But I happen to think Megyn Kelly went after, and even to a degree, Chris Wallace, went after everybody on stage. And I've said that on this show. I think that their intent, their desire after that first debate was to have those in the media or those that criticize them for being pro-Republican to come out and applaud them and say, well done, Fox News. And unfortunately, what it would have made it well done was that they attacked every one of those guys up on stage. Donald Trump was one of them. Look, is Megyn Kelly right that at the root of her question, it's a fair but tough question? Yeah. But could she have done it more in a question format versus a kind of an accusatory way? I think so. regardless, my point is, we've had another one of these. We've heard Republicans, we've heard them answer virtually any question you can think of. Whoever your candidate is. I mean, from John Kasich, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorina, Mike Huckabee. Forgive me if I don't have a list in front of me. I'm not deliberately leaving anyone out here, but Ben Carson. They've answered repeatedly sometimes all sorts of questions. And by contrast, the Democrats remain in hiding. I've said this from the beginning. You know, it's funny to me. Donald Trump is being accused by some of, you know, not standing up and being there to give the American people what they want. They need to hear from him. They need to know his position on issues. I mean, in fairness, Donald Trump has been everywhere. I think, did I read that Donald Trump has been on Fox News 132 times since announcing his candidacy? I'm not saying that he's put to rest all the concerns that we have. There are legitimate concerns about Donald Trump. How conservative is this guy? A concern that we do not have, at least I don't have, is if this guy is strong or a weak guy. But the Republicans are back. They've done a great job. I mean, I really do. I think they've had some really good debates and some really good conversations, some really big issues that have been discussed. By contrast, the Democrats trot their candidates out on stage, put a fawning Chris Cuomo in front of them, who's primarily concerned with defending Hillary Clinton, but who was also just kind of fawning over all of them. Hillary Clinton, the nutty professor Bernie Sanders, and of course our dear friend, sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley. But did you see the questions there? In fact, the questions, it appears, may have been written, pre-approved by CNN or, heck, for all we know, a Hillary staffer. I noticed this when I watched the debate with my wife. I was about to tweet it, but, you know, you got 140 characters in a tweet. Not really something I think I could have tweeted. But this kid, this college kid, asked, first of all, he calls Mrs. Clinton Senator Sanders and apologizes. He didn't mean to do that, blah, blah, blah. And the question he was going to ask is which U.S. president, just one, and Chris Cuomo said this, just one, Hillary, just one, as though Hillary's such a profoundly deep individual that she can't limit it to one. She knows so much intimate detail about each and every one of these great politicians, these great political leaders, that it's just hard for her to limit it to one. But he begged her, just one, Hillary, just one. Just give us one. But the kid, as he started to answer his question, he said, I can see why they gave you this question. Compare that with the questions. Take away or forget about what you think about whether or not the questions Megyn Kelly crossed the line or if they were tough but fair. Whatever your position on that, fine. But contrast that with what she's been asking them or what CNBC asked them. One of the debates, you remember Ted Cruz interjected and said, look, and he kind of went through every single question. You know, you asked Dr. Carson why he's this, or, you know, you asked Donald Trump this, you asked me this, you asked John Kasich this, and all the questions were loaded questions. Why are you a racist? Have you stopped beating your wife yet? And these are the sorts of questions, hyperbole, of course, here. But these are the sorts of questions they're asked on the debate stage. And I think Ted Cruz said, and you're asking the Democrats, which of you is the most handsome and why? I mean, it's spot on the money true. Exactly true. So anyway, last chance tonight. Last chance before the Iowa caucus for these guys to make their case. And I don't know, I guess I haven't looked into this. Are they going to have an empty podium for Trump, or are they going to fill this in? Because I'm telling you, if there's an empty podium up there for Trump, you talk about someone who can say a whole lot with not even being there. That is going to be a powerful statement. And I don't know what their plans are, but if they're even entertaining the notion that there's an empty podium up there, it's not really good for these other guys. So anyway, I'm going to stop here, take our first break for the day. When we get back, more on this, and there's a few other issues, including Cam Newton and, of course, climate change being blamed for the blizzard along the East Coast this week. So sit tight. Be back in a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today, by the way, is Thursday. It's January 28th. It's a pleasure to be here. Episode, for those of you that are new to the show, this is our 114th full-length podcast. I have, incidentally, a couple of other things, I guess, while I'm thinking about it. I have pressed the buttons, if you will, and I have moved, it's in the process anyway, of moving our podcast host to SoundCloud. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a lot to you. If you listen on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Learn Out Loud or Spreaker, YouTube, this really isn't going to shouldn't make any noticeable difference for you. The only thing is that it may re-release. Since I had to re-upload these new files to SoundCloud, it may re-release them as new episodes. And I am actually going through the process of re-uploading the... Of course, the files associated with the full-length podcast are a lot larger, so they take longer to upload. So there might be... some of the older episodes may not be available. They may be getting re-uploaded to SoundCloud over the course of, I don't know, the next few days or week or two. But regardless, we've moved over. I've hit the button. But I still think, as of right now, as I'm recording this, I believe it's still pulling from the old host. So it's still in the process of updating iTunes. Some of the other sources have begun pulling from SoundCloud. But I mention this because I've also started releasing or re-releasing the Daily Dose. Now, the Daily Dose originally was meant to be a promotional audio short, a very short 2 to 3 minute audio clip just talking about current events, mocking liberals, illustrating the absurdity of some of the things that they say and do and so forth. And it was originally designed just to be a short promotion for the full-length podcast. Well, I stopped doing those because, well, I had kind of hit full stride on this, was getting, more comfortable, feeling my way through here, wanted to really take the next step and improve this show. So I stopped doing those. I was contacted by a radio station in Florida in the Orlando Daytona Beach market, and they said, "Hey, can you continue doing these? We'd like to run these on our air." So I think it was a month that I did not run those, I started releasing those again just for the radio station, and they were running in Orlando. They still do, by the way. And thank you very much, Marty, for doing that. You know, I may have Marty, who's a fellow talk show host, on here. He and I talked about doing an interview on here. I think he might be on this show in the near future. But regardless, had been doing those since a little bit before Thanksgiving. And this week, as I've migrated over to SoundCloud, I've uploaded those episodes. And you can now access those on SoundCloud. And as SoundCloud updates and becomes the primary source of the feed to iTunes or Stitcher, those episodes will be available there as well. So my point is, some of these episodes you're going to get are going to be old ones that you may have heard. Some of them are actually old ones that I did not release because I, like the daily doses, I had about, I don't know, I think there were about 30 or 40 of those that were just being released to the radio station. If you like those, basically anything from episode, daily dose number 58 was the last one I released on here. So anything numbered 59 until the current numbers, which is 103 or 104, will be new daily doses. Anyway, did not mean to get that much into it, but just a little bit behind the scenes here as to what's going on as we continue to grow and, further develop the show. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about Donald Trump. We were talking about Fox News. We were talking about the debate and what's going to happen tonight. I mean, can Ted Cruz win Iowa? Can he make his case? You know, will Donald Trump still be the focus of this entire debate? I don't know. I think these candidates would be wise. I mean, of course, you need to differentiate yourself from him, especially when he's leading or neck and neck in Iowa with Ted Cruz in virtually every poll that I've seen. But, you know, make your case, but don't make this about Trump. He's going to be out there after the debates. I don't know if he'll be doing this tonight or tomorrow morning, but he's going to be spinning this. He's going to be talking about how no one watched because he wasn't there. He's going to be talking about how businesses did not want to pay as much because he wasn't on the stage. He's going to talk about how he was the only principled one that stood up to this establishment. He's going to be pointing out or trying to convince people that he is different from all the rest of those guys because he is not a lifetime politician. You know, you've heard this before. And can these other guys respond? Or does his absence offend enough people in Iowa to where they won't vote for him? We'll see how this plays out. I mean, we're just a few days now. Iowa caucus is on Monday. And then I think 8 days later, we go to New Hampshire and then South Carolina. And then before we know it, we'll be talking about Super Tuesday, which is March 1st, which is when many states hold their primaries. So the next month or so is going to be a very, very busy time, and a lot of this is going to fall into place. At the same token, it doesn't mean that we won't get to the convention and not have a clear-cut winner. I mean, there are enough candidates, and I think enough strong candidates, and no one, although Trump has gotten into some polls where he's had big leads, high percentages, no one's walking away with this yet, at least when you look at it state by state. I mean, for example, Trump and Cruz are neck and neck here in Iowa. Trump is way ahead in New Hampshire. So anyway, but this debate, last chance to make their arguments before Iowa. I don't know if you saw, Donald Trump was on O'Reilly last night. And, you know, I think O'Reilly does a good job. I do think he's pretty fair in his interviews for the most part. I think he's wrong on some of his positions, but all in all, I agree with a good chunk of what Bill O'Reilly says. But again, he takes the same line. He uses the old, well, you know what, I'm just going to play. I'm going to play this clip. It's about a minute long, this exchange between Donald Trump, well, Bill O'Reilly and Donald Trump, where Trump is, excuse me, where O'Reilly is trying to convince Trump to join the debate stage tonight. So here it is. It's about a minute. Donald Trump and Bill O'Reilly.
Putin's going to come at you. The Mullahs are going to come at you. Certainly the terrorists are going to come at you, and it's going to be personal. They're going to do everything they can to diminish you, and you hope to, as a president, you have to rise above that, all right, and do what's best for the country. And this exposition that we're talking about today, people are going to say, you know, Trump, he's just too self-absorbed to be president. He needs to look the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is get your message to the folks.
There's got to be something because you set the all-time record in cable history, and so did CNN. And so
they want
to
know you,
Bill.
They want to know you, but by walking away,
and a lot of people
from this debate, you're not giving them the opportunity to know them as well as they would like.
I'm not walking away, Bill.
You're walking
away.
Would you do me a favor? Look, you owe me it because I bought you so many vanilla milkshakes. I bought you so many vanilla milkshakes. You owe me. Will you just consider? I want you to consider, all right? Think about it. Say, look, I might come back. Forgive, go forward, answer the questions, look out for the folks. Just want you to consider it. You owe me milkshakes. I'll take them off the ledger if you consider it.
I think this is the wrong line of questioning. How are you going to deal with Putin? How are you going to deal with the Ayatollahs? It's not about how are you going to deal with them. He's just decided, right or wrong, or for spin effect or whatever, he's decided that he has been treated unfairly by Fox, by Megyn Kelly in particular, and by Robert Ailes. I've read in a couple places that Robert Ailes has been calling him, pleading with him to come back. I don't know if this is true, but I've read this. Trump says he won't take anyone's calls from Fox except for Rupert Murdoch. So, but Trump thinks that Megyn Kelly wasn't fair. Trump thinks that Fox, Robert Ailes, has not been fair to him. And not only that, but then you factor in this press release where Trump was kind of mocked. And that, of course, is what Trump says was the final culprit, the final nail in the coffin for his decision not to attend the debate. You know, Bill O'Reilly asked you to walk away from them. You'd be too afraid to sit down in a room with them. That's not what this is about. He then goes on, I don't know if this was in the clip. I don't think it was, but in the article it talks about where Bill O'Reilly says something along the lines of, well, you're a Christian. The Bible says to turn the other cheek. Why don't you turn the other cheek? Well, look, the Bible does not say if someone strikes you on the cheek today to next week to stroll back over to them, sit down, and let them do it again. That's not what that verse is suggesting. That verse is not expecting someone to be abused. And look, you may say Trump's not abused. I'm not suggesting he is, but that's what he's saying. Look, I'm not going to be attacked without provocation, without any reason or justification. This is a debate. You're supposed to ask me questions, not try to impugn and attack my character. That's what he's basically saying here. And of course, Fox is kind of in panic mode here. They're begging him to come back. They're trying to, I don't know, to shame him into coming back. They're saying Donald Trump can't control the journalists. Who does he think he is? Well, at the same time, the media can't control Donald Trump either. There's nothing in writing that says he has to be there. Now, this may be a really bad decision for Trump. I don't know. This may hurt him. This may help Ted Cruz, this may help get the conservative message out better. I don't know. But again, the way that they approach this is just It's just not the right thing. Not the right way to do it. To me, again, I think it's raising questions like this. Mr. Trump, is this presidential what you're doing here? You know, what other reactionary responses are you going to have as president? But again, scared, weak, timid, intimidated, unable to deal with people in a strong way on the world stage. I mean, this plays right into his strengths. His weakness, or one of his potential weaknesses, would be his responses. Is he a reactionary guy? Is he too much of a hothead? I mean, I'm not saying he is or isn't, but make that case. Make the case that a president needs to be more someone who can think and not just want to spew off at the mouth or take some dramatic response. Again, just don't attack him for being weak, and that's not going to get this done. That's not going to get this done at all. Anyway, going to stop here, take another break. When we get back, I promise you something from, I mentioned a story about climate change. We're going to have that in a minute. But also, I want to talk about Cam Newton as we get close to the Super Bowl here. So sit tight, be back in a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information. And you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. You know, enough about Trump for a bit. Enough about the debate. I mean, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll see how this thing goes tonight. We'll talk about the debate. And then we're going to be into Iowa on Monday. But enough about that. There's a few other stories I wanted to talk about. Number one, there's a story, and I'll post the link again to our show notes page. If you go to theantidotoliberalism.com and just click on show notes, you'll see that article along with all the others in the show notes that I write out. But Cam Newton, quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, who, I'll be honest with you, quick story about Cam Newton. When he was drafted, he played at Auburn in college. Won the Heisman Trophy, won the national championship at Auburn, was a fantastic quarterback and athlete. Fantastic. I'm an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. Now, I know I probably just lost about 20% of the audience by saying that, but I've been an Alabama fan since, I don't know, the early 90s, about 90, 92, something like that. My grandpa as a kid had the Coca-Cola bottles with Paul the Bear Bryant on the bottle. And just watching them, becoming familiar with them, I became a fan. So I've seen, you know, I watched Cam Newton because he would play, of course, at Auburn. He would play against Alabama every year. And, of course, he goes on to win the national championship. But I thought Cam Newton would be one of these guys, unfortunately, kind of how Robert Griffin to this point has played out, which, tremendous athlete, but just struggles to adjust to the NFL game. I didn't think Cam Newton could do what he's pulled off as far as being able to run the football and take the hits. And I mean, he was a good passer in college, but the passing skills you have to have at the NFL level are just incomprehensible. The amount of skill, the amount of precision, reading complex defenses, blitzing. I mean, all of these things. He was very good, but I didn't think his style would fit, frankly. Or I wondered if it would with the NFL. If they could keep him in the pocket, you know, if they could make him have little windows to throw into, if they could limit his athleticism, and he's got tremendous arm strength, but just make him put it into small windows with those with great athletes on defense, I wasn't sure that he could, his style would translate, and with his propensity to want to run, I mean, getting hit in the NFL is not what it's like getting hit in college, with all due respect to the college football crowd, the college football athlete. The NFL is, well, just a lot tougher. There's lots of examples of really good college players that never panned out in the NFL. In fact, a lot of those are even Heisman Trophy winners. But regardless, Cam Newton, the article in the Charlotte Observer, I believe, he's not necessarily the most liked guy in the NFL. Now, when he first came out, I thought he was a little bit immature. I didn't really like him. I thought he was a little bit immature, to be candid. But I really grew to like Cam Newton. I saw some things where he was bringing, you know, these kids in to the stadium to spend time with him, where he would. They were recovering from cancer and cancer treatments and maybe of other diseases and illnesses. And he was just fantastic with these kids. And I've watched him over the past few years, and I think he's matured. He's found a stride. He's developed his game. He's become a true professional. I really believe that. But he still upsets some people. And I think the primary reason for that is he's a bit of a showboat. Now, I look at this and say, he's just an entertainer. I think this is all in good fun. I don't think he's trying to be cocky or rub their nose in it. I mean, I'm sure there's a point of that. He's a competitive athlete. But I think if you watch him, by the way, he's always got a big smile. And he's always smiling. In fact, before the first snap, if you pay attention, if they frame in on him, you'll see him close his eyes and take a deep breath. And then he just starts smiling. It's like, okay, I'm ready. Let's have fun out here. And I think that's what he does. I really do. But a lot of people don't like the antics. Like, you've seen him take down, he took down the 12th man, one of the 12th man flags that a fan had at Seattle Stadium, threw it on the ground or something or other. You know, he does the Superman when he scores. He does the dramatic, you know, first down reactions when he gets a first down. But again, I think this is all in good fun. Some of you are not going to like this guy. No question about it. I understand. You think it's too showy. You think he's cocky. I get it. I don't see it that way. I have a good friend that he and I disagree on Cam Newton. But in this article, Cam comes out and says that essentially he's disliked because he's apparently he's a black quarterback. I just get so tired of this. This is not Doug Williams. This is not the 1980s, 70s, what have you. I mean, we've had lots of black quarterbacks. The average fan does not care one bit. I don't care. In fact, the Colts, who, of course, I'm outside of Indianapolis, we had a terrible series of events with our quarterbacks this year. Luck was injured, so on and so forth. Down the list, Hasselbeck, Charlie Whitehurst. We ended up signing Josh Freeman, who used to be a very good quarterback, I believe even a Pro Bowl quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He kind of fell off the face of the planet. I don't know exactly what all went wrong there, but we signed him, and he played very well for us. He had basically a week. I don't think he had been in football for a while. He had a week to learn the offense, and he took to the field. In fact, I think we won, if I'm not mistaken. I thought the Colts should sign this guy for long term. I think he's a good backup quarterback. Hasselbeck's probably done. I don't even think about his race. Anyway, I tire of this. I get so tired of this of this discussion, and if this, there's legitimate racism, it needs to be stopped. But that's not the case 99% of the time. Cam Newton's not liked because people don't like his antics. So anyway, I'm going to stop and take one last break. When we get back, we'll wrap up for the day. So sit tight and back in line. Are you looking for an alternative to employer-provided health insurance? Maybe your rates have skyrocketed, or maybe your employer doesn't provide health insurance. And then you visited healthcare.gov and realized how much of a debacle Obamacare really is. Why don't you take a look at what my family and I do for our healthcare needs? We're members of Samaritan Ministries, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for a biblical, non-insurance approach to your healthcare needs, visit theantidotoliberalism.com/healthcare to learn more. And as an added bonus, my listeners will receive an exclusive $50 credit, but only when you complete the application on my website. Go to theantidotoliberalism.com to apply or to get more information. My family and I love it, and we think you will too. God bless. Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. Look, I've left ourselves just a tiny bit of time here, but I'm going to tell you one quick thing that I read in NPR. NPR, of course. NPR is blaming last week's blizzard, well, on global warming, on climate change. If you read the article, it actually sounds like it's, or excuse me, the headline of the article, it sounds like it's just talking about a natural phenomenon. It says that the title is "A Big El Nino Was the Likely Instigator of Last Week's Blizzard," which sounds like, hey, you know, it's a natural event. We've had El Ninos, we've had warming cycles in the Pacific Ocean for many, 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 who knows how long. But if you read the article, the reason, according to NPR and according to these scientists that they're and talking to, the reason that we have the warming is because the oceans are absorbing the heat. And that heat, once absorbed, of course, has to go somewhere, and it begins to warm the Pacific. And then once that water warms, it can affect the weather patterns, which is what El Nino does. That combined with, I don't know, a low pressure system coming out of Alaska and the jet stream, blah, blah, blah. It sent a lot of moisture to the East Coast, along with the cold weather that was brought down from the Arctic, and lo and behold, we had this massive blizzard. And I don't know, did New York, I think I read New York got within like a tenth of an inch of setting the record. And my first thought is, if these things are so uncommon and unbelievable, why is it even, A, why is it close to the record? B, why did it not break the record? I mean, if these things have never happened before, wouldn't they have broken the record by 50 inches or 10 inches or 20? I mean, wouldn't it have been just off the scale? And again, these record the records only go back to what, the 1800s? So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. I got to wrap up. I'm a little bit long here today. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. Email, should you want to reach out, is todd@theantidotoliberalism.com, or you can tweet me @commonsensegear. But that's going to do it today. Have a great day. Be sure to watch the debate tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.